Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And it's great to be here this evening. It's Sunday, December 17th, 2023. 2023 is almost in the history books. It's just unbelievable how quickly the time goes by. It really is. So first of all, we want to thank Ray Powers for keeping us on the air. I was away last weekend. My wife and I took a little trip. Unfortunately, I was sick pretty much the whole time. But, you know, it was nice that I had the time to be able to relax and recuperate. And so my voice isn't quite right, so please bear with me through this. I may have to hit the old cough button a time or two and to take a little break. But anyway, Ed, how have you been? I've missed you for the past week.
Yeah, I've been good. It's just pretty normal, you know, just doing little things around the house, a few adventures. Oh, I did start going to a gym.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. So are you feeling sore?
No, actually I'm not. I'm surprised.
Oh, good. Good. So just starting off light?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, because of my profession and where I used to work, mm-hmm. we had equipment, so I pretty knew where to start.
Yeah. I guess being a physical therapist, you know how to not overdo it.
Yeah.
You see, when I go to a gym, I start working and I get so sore and then I get discouraged. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that would be neat to know what to do and what not to do.
Right.
It's just like me when you know, you pray this often to know what to say and what not to say when we're witnessing to people. Mm-hmm. Because you can overdo anything.
Right.
Even preaching the word, you can push people away by talking about those things. But tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, Ed, please.
Well, Prophecies of Hope is a little ministry in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street. If you're in the area, stop by and see us. We have a Bible study on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., which is available via Zoom if you're interested. And we have our church service on the Sabbath or Saturday, which begins at 9:30 with the Bible study, and our worship hours at 11.
Yeah, so, you know, we'd love for you to stop and visit. We have a fellowship meal every other weekend, typically.
Right.
And if you're ever in the area, give us a call or drop us a note, stop by. Also, you know, we want to remind you that you can participate in this radio program by sending in any questions that you might have. Mm-hmm. If you have any questions or comments or something, maybe even a topic that you would like to study.
Right.
And because, you know, we're still learning here just like everybody else. And somebody might send in a topic that they want to talk about, and we just have to go to the Bible and see what it says.
Right.
And also our website is prophecyhope.com. And if somebody wants to contact you, Ed, you have an email address.
Yes. You can contact me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
All right. You can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com.
And just so you understand, our website's a little bit different than the actual name of our church. The name of the church or ministry is Prophecies of Hope, mm-hmm. but our website is prophecyhope.com.
Yeah, unfortunately, years ago when we were just getting started, we found that some of the domains, a lot of domain names are taken already, and some of them aren't even being used. They're just kind of people scarf them up and kind of sit on them. So
we would never do that.
No, we wouldn't do that. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, we're so blessed to be here each and every week. You can catch us here every Sunday at 7 p.m. right here on New Visions Radio. And, one other thing. Actually, two other things. If you can't remember our names, and a lot of times people have issues with that, I'm terrible about remembering names.
Yeah.
You can just send us a general email at office@prophecyhope.com. Also, if you want to... If there's a particular topic and you want to see if we've spoken about it, when you go to the website, you can use that search bar and search through hundreds of sermons there that have been posted.
Right.
And I think that's about all the business we have to take care of here this evening.
Okay.
So, Ed, would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Father in heaven, again, we're thankful to be here, thankful for your word, the Bible, that we can open and study. Father, as we study today, may you give us understanding of what we read. give us understanding and be able to apply it to our lives. God is by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Ed, you know, we were talking right before we turned these mics on.
Right.
We were talking about current events and things that are going on in the world today. And I had received a text from a friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the text, it was pretty much stating how there's so much division in the world today. And it seems like you're either on the right of the aisle or the left of the aisle, politically speaking.
Right. In the United States.
In the United States. Yeah. Particularly in the United States. But I think this is actually a global thing, too.
Right.
Because, you know, we have some contact with people in other parts of the world, and they see the same type of polarization going on in their countries as well. So this is something that it can bog us down. It can cause divisions even among Christian people.
You know, I think it's more than just a political polarization. It's also a polarization between what the Bible says and how to live your life and what the world says and how to live your life, between right and wrong.
I agree 100% with that. So I thought, you know, we were just kind of discussing this before we turned the mics on here, and we don't plan these programs, despite what a lot of people might think.
Yeah.
We don't plan them. And we were just sitting here before it was time to go on the air, and we just said, you know, because of this text, I read it to you, and we said, why don't we talk about this a little bit? Because we have to meet these things head on.
So let me ask you a question. Maybe this will start us off.
Sure.
Should I be worried about who the next president of the United States is?
Or any other country.
Right.
For that matter. Because, you know, my wife and I, we were just on vacation. She kept up with the headlines. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't listen to anything. And she said to me on the way back, she says, Putin, who is the Russian, I guess, ruler, is going to run for office again. So you see, these things come up all over the place.
Yeah.
So it's not just here. So your question again was,
should I be worried about who's going to be the next president?
You know,
who's going to be the next person in power anywhere?
I'll tell you a scripture that just comes to my mind as soon as somebody asks me that.
All right.
And let's just go back to the book of Daniel.
All right.
Now, what do we know about Daniel, Ed, particularly who he was, what he had gone through? What was his experience? Can you give us a little highlight?
Sure. Daniel, I think, was of a higher level in society in Israel.
Yes.
He may have been a son of a ruler. And when King Nebuchadnezzar invaded Israel, he took of the people some of these young men in order to train them and maybe to convert them into their worshiping their gods.
Yeah.
And so Daniel in his life, in his life in Babylon, was a study and witness for God. He would only do the things that were right in God's eyes.
So he was actually taken captive as a teenager,
yes.
Wasn't he? And Nebuchadnezzar, basically, when we look at this account in Daniel chapter 2, it's he sort of took those people and brainwashed them. Isn't that what you would call it?
Yeah.
Indoctrinating them, brainwashing them into his ways.
Even manipulated them. If you don't do this, you're going to die.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even changing their names, taking the names that they were given by their parents, by their godly parents, and changing them to the names of Babylonian false gods.
Right.
For example, Daniel, I believe that his name was changed to Belteshazzar, if I remember correctly.
Right.
I think that was right. And so, you know, so we have this young man who was raised by parents, but then in his mid to late teens, he's with this king, Nebuchadnezzar.
Let me give you an example of Daniel's loyalty to God.
Okay.
When they were first brought to Egypt and they were selected to be in the school of the king, for lack of a better word, they were given this privilege to be able to eat of the king's table.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And Daniel and his three friends decided that this would dishonor God because they would have to partake of unclean food, unclean meat, mm-hmm. and wine, and things that they knew would harm their bodies. And so they went to, I believe it's Arioch, who was in charge of the all these young men that were in this school. And they said, you know, give us water and pulse to eat. And this man said, you know, if I do that, I'm going to lose my life. Mm-hmm. You know, if the king right. finds this out, I'm going to lose my life.
Sure.
And Daniel said, well, give us 10 days of doing this, and then you compare us to the other young men in this school.
Right.
And see what the results are. And the results were that they had better physical status as well as cognitive or mental status.
Yes, they looked much healthier yeah. than the other boys, and even their thinking was more clear.
Right.
Which shows that we are what we eat,
yes.
right? If we eat garbage, we're going to feel like garbage. So this is so important because even down to their diet, Daniel was faithful.
Yes.
right? All the way down to what he was supposed to be eating according to God's will.
Right.
So when we look at this Daniel and what took place here, he's been indoctrinated. They even tried to change his foods, everything that he knew he wasn't supposed to eat, they were putting in front of him and to kind of basically wear him down. Let's face it.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. Isn't that what the world's doing to people today?
Right.
Wearing us down?
You hear something that's offensive and the world keeps repeating it over and over and over again.
That's right.
Pretty soon it loses its offensiveness.
It does. It becomes, I always call it becoming calloused. Our conscience yeah. is becoming calloused.
Right.
And so let's just take a look at this verse. And this is the verse that comes to mind when people ask me, well, you know, don't you have a political opinion? Well, of course I have a political opinion. But why should I share it? Does it matter? Is my vote going to make a difference? And so many people say that it will. But look at what the Bible says. Daniel chapter 2, and in verse, I'm reading this from the New King James, verses 20 and 21. Daniel answered, I need to set this up a little bit. The king wants a dream and an interpretation, doesn't he?
Right. He had a dream. It bothered him. He couldn't remember the dream.
Right.
And he wanted to know the interpretation of it.
There you go. So here, Daniel, he was wanted to understand what was going on. And Arioch, the captain of the guard, comes to Daniel and he says, we're going to have to destroy you. So here's what Daniel says. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. For he changes the times and the seasons. He, that's God, he removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him.
Yes.
Who is the light of the world?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, here this is telling us that God sets up kings and removes them to do according to his will
right.
on this earth.
Sure. And look, we're not suggesting that anybody not vote or not
right.
not have an opinion.
Or not have a political discussion.
Right, and not voice their thoughts.
Yeah.
But there's a fine line between voicing your thoughts and making it make you angry with someone because they disagree with you.
Or cause violence.
Cause violence, you know, any kind of riots, anything
yeah.
like that. So while I see nothing at all wrong with somebody being politically motivated or politically involved, I think we have to put it in its proper place. Do we trust what God says?
Right.
Do we trust that he is ultimately in control?
Yes.
That he's not going to let things go beyond where they should go.
If we look at the history of the nation of Israel, you can see where God is using other kingdoms to try to get Israel to turn back to God.
That's right.
Through persecution.
Right here in Daniel 2.
Yes.
What was the reason that the Jews were taken captive at this point.
Because they were worshiping other gods, refused to worship the God of heaven and earth in their hearts and minds.
That's right.
Jeremiah speaks for God, saying, "I've risen early to let you know that these things are going to happen. You know, turn back. You know, choose life.
Choose life.
But they refused.
You know, when we look at these accounts, these things that really happened, this is a matter of history. So we have this whole nation was taken captive. God allowed them to basically be grabbed up.
Many of them lost their life.
Yeah, uprooted.
Yeah.
Because of disobedience.
Right.
And whenever we obey God, even if we lose our life because of that obedience, we're better off.
Yes.
Losing our life in obedience rather than losing it because of disobedience.
Right. And Jesus said something, don't be afraid of those that can kill the body, but be afraid of the one that can kill the soul and body.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And it doesn't mean that we have a trepidation of him, but a fear of displeasing him.
Right.
And so when I look at this account here, you know, when people, I get this question all the time, especially, you know, we're coming up in 2024. It's just around the corner.
Right.
That's a major election year here in the United States. And there's so much tension. There are so many rumors, so many things. And really, I don't think anybody really knows the truth about what's taking place.
Right.
We are given information by the news media based on what they want us to hear.
Right.
And it doesn't matter whether it's liberal news media or conservative news
right.
media. You're going to get what they want you to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to make sure of all things, whether it's biblical, whether it's things that are within our families, within our job, within our political realm, you know, those that are around us there. These Bible principles are so important that we just follow God's word. We follow Bible principles. If you're going to vote, there's so many people that I know, well, my granddaddy has been this political party and I'm going to die in this political party. It's like the person that says, well, my granddaddy went to this church, I'm going to go to this church.
Yeah.
Is that really a way to pick a church?
No.
Or the way to pick a spouse or a political party or a friend? No, you need to investigate for yourself.
Investigate what they believe and not just what they say, what they do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I always, we should vote with morality.
Yeah.
Not with party.
Yeah.
With morality. Vote according to, you know, where would Jesus be on this particular point?
Yeah.
Or on this particular platform or issue?
Yeah.
Where would he be? You know, he says, my kingdom is no part of this world.
Right.
So it doesn't mean that we can't be involved and try to make things better while we're here. We all want things to be better. Everybody wants to pay less taxes. Everybody wants to have good food and
be healthy,
good health care, right? So while we're here, let's make it as good as we can for as long as we can. But so this was just one of the points that really come up and stand up in my mind is that God changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. Nebuchadnezzar was not necessarily at the beginning a godly man.
Right. He was a heathen. He worshipped false gods, yeah.
That's right. And he even tried to push that on God's people.
Right.
Right? And God allowed that to happen, to shake them up a little bit. Some of the trials and tribulations that we go through, sometimes we bring them on ourselves, but sometimes God might be trying to refine us to help prepare us for something that's coming in the future
right.
we have no idea about.
Right.
We don't think like that so many times.
You know, God chastises those that he loves. He corrects those that he loves.
Amen.
And it may not be pleasant, but it's for our own good. Just like a parent needs to discipline their children to teach them the right way to live, the right way to interact with each other.
Yes, you're right. And, you know, along with what happens so many times in these situations that we're talking about here with political parties, voting, kings, nations— people will give in to peer pressure.
Yeah.
And they're afraid of, well, what's my cousin going to think, or my neighbor, or, you know, my family? What are they going to think if I go against the grain? Well, you know, doing the right thing is not always easy.
No.
Usually it's the hardest thing to do is the right thing.
Right.
Right? And we can see some of that in the same account of Daniel. Just one thing I want to show. Well, let's go to chapter 3 for just a moment. And here it talks about this image of gold that Daniel makes. Ed, would you want to read some of this just to show how we can be, what this is going to show us here, Daniel chapter 3. It's going to show us how by those who are around us, it can have an impact on us.
And this applies politically as well as religiously to the society that Daniel was in.
Absolutely, in every aspect of your life. You want to set this up a little bit?
Well, why don't we just read this? Okay. Well, let's set it up a little bit. The dream that Nebuchadnezzar had was a dream or a vision that showed the history of the world to come.
Mm.
And in this dream, there was a image that had a head of gold, arms and chest of silver, belly and thigh of bronze, legs of iron, and feet of clay mixed with iron. And these represented different kingdoms. And his kingdom was the head of gold. So what does Nebuchadnezzar do? He says, my kingdom's never going to end. I'm going to make an image of pure gold.
Right.
And that's where we start off in Daniel 3.
Okay.
Verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the justices, and all the officials of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then were gathered the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the justices, and the officials of the provinces to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded. It doesn't give the option of not doing it. He says, to you it is commanded, O people, nation, and languages. At the time you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, zither, the lyre, the harp, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up.
Hmm.
Now you need to be aware of that this golden image that he set up represented himself and his kingdom.
Correct.
So he was desiring worship.
Yes.
Verse 6, and whoever does not fall down and worship, at that moment they will be thrown into the middle of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the pipe, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So he was dictating their political stance,
right,
their religious stance, and they were to honor him in anything that he said to do. They were to do it, or they would be put in this fiery furnace.
So really here, it's political and it's religious.
Yes.
And he's telling them when to worship and what to worship.
Right. And look who was there. Every judge, justice, ruler, province, and then all the nations and all the languages.
Mm. This was quite a gathering.
Yeah.
So he had influenced everyone in that area.
Yeah.
One of the most powerful men in the world at that time.
Yes.
So, you know, think about this. These are things you have to think about when you put people in office.
It didn't matter what you believed.
Didn't matter.
You better follow what they say.
That's what this is saying.
Even if you disagree with them, you better do it on the point of death.
And this is going to tell us that in a sense, isn't it? We'll see exactly what happens.
Let's continue in verse 8.
Sure.
Then at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O King, live forever. You, O King, have made a decree that every man who shall hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, zither, the lyre, harp, and the bagpipe, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship, he should be thrown into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are men, Jews, whom you have set over the business of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O King, do not heed you. They do not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Notice they have some history here with them. They don't worship your gods.
So they understand that these men worship the true God.
Right. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in anger and wrath, commanded them to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said to them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Verse 15. Now if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, zither, the lyre, harp, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, fall down and worship the image which I have made. But if you do not worship in that moment, you shall be thrown into the middle of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God who shall deliver you out of my hand?
So before you continue on, when you look at this account, and it says Nebuchadnezzar in verse 14 spoke to them saying, Is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image that I have set up?
Right.
So, you know, he's giving them an opportunity to say something. But then he doesn't wait for that. He says, okay, so this is going to happen again. We're going to do this again, and you better bow. That's pretty much what he
says. He says, at the time you hear the sound of the music, but if you do not worship in that moment, you shall be thrown into the middle of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God who shall deliver you out of my hand? Wow. Verse 16.
Serious.
Yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to return a word to you on this matter. If it is so that our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, then he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up.
Now, go ahead.
They're telling the king, we don't need to think about this. Our mind's already made up.
That's it.
Our God, we believe, can deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. But if he doesn't, if he decides not to, we still will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you've set up. They've already made a choice. They've already decided in their hearts and mind that they were going to serve God no matter what.
This is why it's important to know the God that we serve,
right?
What he approves of, what he disapproves of. There was no doubt in their mind that they were doing the right thing,
right,
according to God. And so, you know, you said something a couple of weeks ago, Ed, and I loved it. Now is the day of salvation.
Yes. Now is the time to decide.
Yes.
Decide in your heart and mind that you're going to follow God and his word and his son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Don't wait till the last minute.
Is life going to be easy?
No.
Not necessarily. Probably, maybe even not as easy as when you were not following God.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'll just share this just for the sake of those, and then we'll continue in this account. Growing up, my dad always told me, it was really good advice. He said, whenever you have a decision to make and you're not sure of which way to go, he says, usually it's the hardest decision that is the right decision.
Yeah.
Because our inclination is to want to take the path of least resistance.
Right.
But, you know, think it through and think about those things. And
pray
do you
about
think
it.
This was easy for them? Yeah, pray about it. That's so important. Do you think this was easy for these men?
No.
No, I think, you know, here they are. They're a spectacle to everyone there.
Oh, yeah. They're singled out from the whole crowd.
Yeah. Three men. And then when you said pray about it, this is what Daniel did before he went to the king.
Yeah.
To tell him the dream and the interpretation of the dream.
Right.
He had to pray about it. He and these three boys right here or together praying about those things.
Let's continue in verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath. This is the king, the emperor of the most of the known world at that
time. That's
right. And you're making him mad?
Not a good place to be, huh?
No. This is a man who has led armies all over the world and destroyed and killed many, many, many people of different nations.
Right.
And here it says, then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and the form of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. Then he commanded mighty men in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were tied up in their slippers, their tunics, and their mantles, and their other clothes, and they were thrown into the middle of the burning fiery furnace. Then, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the men that threw them into the furnace died doing so.
Yes, they did.
Because the king had commanded that the furnace would be heated seven times hotter than it already was.
Yeah, can you imagine that?
I don't know how you would do that.
I guess he was just so infuriated.
Yeah.
And he ended up hurting his own men in doing this.
But it didn't seem to matter to him.
No, it didn't.
Verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was amazed, and he rose up in haste and spoke and said to his advisors, did we not throw three men bound into the middle of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, behold, I see four men loose, walking in the middle of the fire, and there is no harm among them, and the form of the fourth is like the son of the gods.
Mine says the form of the fourth is like the son of God.
Yeah. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the door of the burning fiery furnace. He answered and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego came forth from the middle of the fire. So interesting. He knew they were servants of the Most High God.
Sure. But yet he said earlier on, who is the God that will save you from me?
Right.
Right? He knew who that God was.
He knew from his, probably not only his interaction with them in previous, because they were rulers of some of the provinces of Babylon, but through his conversations with Daniel.
Absolutely. There's no doubt that Daniel had to witness to him, no doubt, because he knew that Daniel had a connection with the Most High God, because it was after he prayed that he came back and told the king not only what he had, the interpretation of his dream, but what he had dreamed.
Uh-huh.
So who can do that?
No.
But the Most High God.
The God that gave him that dream.
That's exactly right. So here in this account, you know, just these are things that could happen today.
Yes.
You know, and we look around and we say, oh, no, that can't happen.
So 5 years ago, would you expect the United States to pass a law where you have to wear a mask and you have to stand so far apart from each other?
No, I would have never dreamed that, Ed. In all of my life, I never thought that what we saw happen in 2020 could have happened.
Would you expect to have phone lines you can call into to tell on people that weren't following the rules?
No.
I know somebody that called.
Wow.
Yeah. They were wanting people to call and so speak if people weren't following the rules, just like here.
Right.
These people saw these three Hebrew Jews not worshiping, and they told the king.
Yeah. They did.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a lot of that was to find favor with the king.
Yeah.
Or to say, hey, look, I've got points now because I did this very thing.
Right. So, or they believed.
Or maybe they believed it. Yeah. That's the thing that we're seeing here. The vast majority out of however many people. I mean, it names a lot of people. We can imagine how many magistrates over a province like Babylon. It's a major city, right? It was a world power, the dominant world power. So all of these magistrates and all of these people. And
the judges and the justices?
Yes, all of them there. And, you know, there's only three guys that say, we're not going to do this.
I'm sure there were more Jews there than just three.
Oh, I'm sure there were many, because they had taken Israel captive.
Yeah.
And, you know, think about it. Israel was taken captive many years ago. Back even before this, there were millions of Jewish people.
Yeah.
Millions. So, I don't know. Go ahead.
Don't look to someone else to follow.
Exactly.
Someone who you think believes what you believe, whether on the religious spectrum or political spectrum. Look to follow God and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. You know, I look at this account, and I always, verse 25, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So, who was in there with them?
It's Jesus.
It had to be.
Look at Jesus' promise in Matthew 28, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age or end of the world.
Yes. And he was with them.
Yes.
Right there in the midst of the fiery furnace. Yeah. So it shows that if you do the will of God, what can man do to me?
Yeah.
What can man or any political party or any government, what can they do to me if I'm in God's will?
Now, there are many Christians that have been martyred.
Absolutely.
Millions and millions of Christians have been martyred for their faith.
Sure.
But they can't kill their soul.
Right.
They have the promise of resurrection when Christ comes again to eternal life.
Amen. Amen. And again, you know, when Ed says they can't kill the soul is not something separate from who we are.
Right.
The body and the breath make the soul.
Right.
And, you know, they might be able to take our life in this world temporarily.
They may put us to sleep, as Jesus called death.
That's it.
But we'll wake up when he comes again.
Amen. So all of this goes right back to the things that we've been talking about in the previous weeks.
What happens when you die?
What happens when we die?
Let me continue reading here just a little bit. Verse 27 of Daniel 3. And the satraps and the prefects, the governors and the king's advisors gathered and saw these men on whose body the fire had no power. And the hair of their head was not scorched, neither were their slippers changed, nor had the smell of fire clung on them.
Hmm.
Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and has delivered his servants who trusted in him, and have changed the king's words and have given their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God."
Hmm.
This man was full of wrath because they would not worship the image that he set up, nor worship his gods.
Right.
And yet, after they were thrown in the fire, he really was a changed man.
He was. It was, you know, you think about how at a very moment like that, your whole perspective of things can be turned around.
Right.
And that's why, you know, even that's why we do this program. We're hoping that people will see an account like this and they'll have a changed life.
Yeah.
These aren't just stories. These are history records.
Right.
These are things that happened. So, you know, did you finish out verse 29?
No, I didn't.
So, yeah, because I love what happens here. He is such a changed man. He goes completely from, I'm going to kill anybody that doesn't worship my gods.
And my image that I set up, yeah.
To look at what he says there. Go ahead.
Verse 29. And a decree is given by me that every people, nation, and language who speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be made into mere members, and his house shall be made an outhouse, because there is no other God who can deliver it in this way. Then the king made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego prosper in the province of Babylon.
So This is a pretty amazing event that took place. So we have this man. He had taken the Israelites captive. God allowed that to happen. And think about this. Are there things that have happened in your life and you look back and you say, you know, I did these horrible things. I can speak for myself. I did these horrible things, and now I look back and say, but I wouldn't be who I am now had I not experienced those things, and I wouldn't be able to help others to come out of that.
Yeah.
If I, you know, the bad choices that I made, somehow God worked with me.
Mm-hmm.
He got me to where he wanted me, and he's still getting me to where he wants
right.
me. And so here we have this man, Nebuchadnezzar, that would just take the life of somebody just because they wouldn't do what he wanted them
right.
to do.
Do you think the world can get to that place again?
To the where it was then?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think we're headed there.
That unless you do as the political leaders command, unless you believe what they believe, or at least do what they say to do, you could be put to death. Put in prison?
Right.
You know, have your things taken away from you?
Sure.
Because you don't follow what they say.
Sure. They were taken out of their homeland originally, these boys mm-hmm. were. We can be taken out of our homeland, even though we have God's protection. They had God's protection through this whole thing.
Right. God was with them.
He was with them. He never forsook them. He never left them. And he sent his son right there to be in the midst of that fire. And it,
you know, it's interesting if you look at the book of Jeremiah, it talks about the Israelites that were left in their land. And through a series of events, they wanted to leave to go to Egypt. God told them, stay here because I've sent Nebuchadnezzar to protect you.
Mm.
And if you stay here, all the bad things that you fear will happen won't happen. But if you go to Egypt, everything that you fear will happen to you there. And it did because they didn't believe God. They didn't trust him.
So we've asked this question a number of times. We have to ask ourselves, do I trust God?
Yeah. Do I want to follow him versus my favorite political leader?
Right.
My pastor, my church. Do I know the truth of God's word versus what someone may say it says?
And if they say something, or they might point to a verse and you look at the verse and say, wow, that does say that. Don't just read the verse.
Read around it.
Read around it.
Compare it with Scripture, Scripture
yes.
to Scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept.
You know, and that's exactly right. And this, what happened here in Daniel, this is such a profound thing to me, because right before Nebuchadnezzar built this image, he was basically, when I read this account, he was trying to thwart a prophecy where mm-hmm. another kingdom was going to come and take his kingdom.
Right.
Because Daniel had previously told him that a kingdom inferior to yours is going to
right.
take your kingdom down. And he was thinking, well, wait a minute. That doesn't have to happen. You know, I know this in advance now. Now I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I can make the world come together by worshiping this image, make them come together as a people and worship my gods, and then no one will want to overcome me. No one would want to take my kingdom.
And isn't that what we see today? It seems like so many churches are trying to bring people together.
Yes.
Not under the umbrella of Jesus Christ and the one true God, but just for the sake of, well, let's just all get along. Let's just,
yeah.
you know, let's just love everybody. And you know, it's terrible, but there were songs that were written in the 60s that talk about just love the one you're with. Well, now that's the mentality of the world.
Right.
Yes, we treat people with love and respect, but God has boundaries with how we show that love
right.
and what we do. And you know, this is the thing. When we read these accounts and we look at what happened here with Daniel, one of my favorite texts, because what he was doing was he was preparing, Daniel prepares us for what's coming in our world.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
This was on a small scale, and we look at that, we say, wow, that doesn't seem very small. But this was in a province is where this happened. But this very thing is very likely to happen on a global scale.
So when someone tells you, when you hear the music, bow down and worship. At this time, you're to worship. Friends, follow God.
Amen.
Even though you may be standing out in the crowd, follow God.
Yeah. When did Jesus primarily go to worship? What are we told in the Bible? There was a particular time that he would go to worship every week.
He went to worship on the Sabbath day in the synagogue.
On the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Which is the seventh day. It's the seventh day of the week, which is from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. And so...
And why does he do that?
Because that was... This is part of God's arrangement. God rested from his work of creating the world on the seventh day.
Yeah. And he tells the people that follow him to worship on the seventh day Sabbath.
Yes. That's what sets them apart. That's one of the many things that set them apart. You know, keep in mind that these three Hebrews, they understood and knew the Ten Commandments that God had written with his finger. And this is why they didn't want to bow to a false god.
So what happens when, in this world we live right now, in the future, that the powers that be tell you, you need to worship on a different day? Otherwise, you're going to pay the consequences. You're going to be fined. You're going to be put in prison. Maybe eventually lose your life because of that.
Sure. That could happen. You know, that's...
People say it can't happen in the U.S. Look at the last 2 years and tell me that government can't tell you what to do.
They can. Well, how many churches were closed during the pandemic?
And pastors arrested.
Yes, because they didn't want to stop doing what they knew they were commissioned to do by God.
Yeah, earthly activities were okay.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, earthly gatherings were okay.
Right.
Even the political leaders that were promoting this wouldn't follow their own laws that they set up.
It's so true. And, you know, those things have been revealed over time. And, you know, we were very fortunate here where we are because we never missed a beat.
No.
We never stopped meeting.
Nope.
And, you know, we're a very tiny little group. And, you know, maybe that worked to our advantage.
Right.
You know, being where we are and the location that we're in.
And there's only one day we didn't meet physically at the church, and that was because we were all sick.
We all got COVID at the same time.
But we met online.
We did. We had a Zoom worship, didn't we? We came together on Zoom that particular time.
So if you hear this and say, you guys are crazy, you don't know what you're talking about, it'll never happen, pay attention.
Pay attention to world events and what's going on.
Just as God used Jeremiah to rise up early and inform the children of Israel, this is going to happen if you keep on going down this road. So God has told us in prophecy what's going to happen in the future.
Absolutely. He surely has. In fact, you know, when we look at this account again, it was not about just when they worshiped, but what they worshiped. And Ed, when you started off there in Daniel chapter 3, it says this image of gold, its height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I think from what I've learned for you that the depth of it was the same as its breadth. So it was also 6 cubits. So here you have 666.
Yeah, you know, if you look at when you look at things in Hebrew, the rule of thumb to the, you know, a lot of things the Jews did by tradition, like when we talk about Jewish tradition has it about Methuselah.
Yeah.
Jewish tradition states that he was buried 1 week before the flood came. And the Bible doesn't tell us that, but it makes sense with the timeline of the account of what took place in Noah's day.
Right.
And the rule of thumb in Jewish history is if you have something's height and its width and it doesn't give you the depth, that the depth and the width are the same. So it just gives you the height measurement, the width measurement, and then you just say, okay, well, it must have been squared on the bottom. So it was 60 by 6 by 6. And there is a place in the Bible that it uses that number.
Yes, it's in Revelation. You know that number's used today?
The number 666?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Do you know what it looks like in Hebrew?
Yeah, didn't we talk about that one time?
I don't know. If you look at a can of a monster drink,
right,
you'll see those three lines going down. That's Hebrew for 666.
That's exactly.
And what
right.
does it say? Unleash the beast?
That's what it says on the drink.
Believe me, friends, people know what they're doing when they put these things on these commercial drinks.
They do. They do. And, you know, the powers that be in this world know a lot more than what they let us know they know.
Right.
And that's the thing. It's just we don't worry about the political world, what's going to happen. It's going to affect me. I mean, it might increase or decrease my taxes. It might change some things that how I do business, and it might raise our gas prices or lower them. We might have inflation or not. You know, all of these things were affected by our local governments and even our national governments.
Mm-hmm.
But why spend so much time and energy focusing on that when we have this promise in Daniel chapter 2? Listen to this. This is Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. When Daniel's giving the king the dream, he says, "And in the days of these kings," he's talking about the end of time, "in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." So after Daniel had taken Nebuchadnezzar through his dream of from the time of Babylon, through Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, and divided Rome on into our day, and beyond, because what he's doing here is he's telling the king, your dream was a timeline showing the return of the Son of God,
yeah.
showing that Jesus Christ is going to set up a kingdom, and he's going to be with us in that kingdom. It's really beautiful. And so, you know, we get so bogged down sometimes in politics and thinking about now. But when we're young, we think about now. As we get older, we start to think, you know, I need to prepare for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm preparing for my eternal retirement from
yeah.
this world
yeah.
into a new world.
Right.
Right? And that's what we need to prepare for, the kingdom right. of God. Did you have a thought?
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes we don't think ahead too much when we make a decision. We only look at right now. This is what I want. It's available. But we never consider the consequences of our choices. And that's what we really need to do in our lives, especially in our relationship to God and His Son.
Amen.
I want to continue on this theme of the beast.
Sure.
Let's go to Revelation chapter 13.
Okay.
And it talks about worship here.
Yes, it does.
So let me, Mark, you want to read verses 1 through 10?
Sure. Revelation 13.
13, 1 through 10.
Okay. "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw the beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth were like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?' And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity, He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints.
Verse 8 says, all dwelling on the earth will worship it, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Mm.
This is future prophecy.
Absolutely. I believe it's near future.
Yeah.
I think it's coming quickly when we look at these things. And, you know, we see some things that are related here to what we just read. And
yes, it's the same story, only in a different time frame.
Yeah.
Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler of the pretty much known world then, was causing everybody to worship this image and to worship his gods.
Yes.
People say it can't happen again. It can't happen in the United States. Well, I think next week we should continue in Revelation about this.
That would be great, you know, because there's no better time to talk about this than right now.
Right.
You know, because we're getting ever closer to Jesus coming.
Amen.
So, you know, hopefully this lays a little foundation for you and makes you want to continue reading in Daniel. It's such a wonderful book. And, you know, maybe in the future we'll talk a little bit about what happened with Nebuchadnezzar.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, we're out of time, Ed. We're going to have to end with prayer. So let's just go ahead and have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful to be here this evening. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to open your word and just see the plan of salvation that has been laid from the beginning. And Father, we're grateful for these accounts that we have where we can learn not only about things that have happened in the past, but we can see how you're preparing us for the future. Father, please be with us until we come together again. We ask for your blessing to be upon each and every one who is listening here this evening. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thanks for reading all of that in Daniel chapter 3.
Sure. It's fun.
It is. And we look forward. We're going to pick it up next week here in Revelation 13.
Yeah.
Right? So, friends, we hope you'll meet us here next week, 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.